The Bible reading this morning is from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, and this is the Living Bible version. The power of the Lord was upon me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley full of old, dry bones that were scattered everywhere across the ground. He led me around among them and then said to me, "Son of dust, can these bones be born, become people again?" I replied, "Lord, you alone know the answer to that." Then he told me to speak to the bones and say, "O dry bones, listen to the words of God, for the Lord God says, see, I'm going to make you live and breathe again. I will replace the flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you shall live and know that I am the Lord." So I spoke these words from God just as he told me to. And suddenly there was a rattling noise from all across the valley, and the bones of each body came together and attached to each other as they used to be. Then as I watched, the muscles and flesh formed over the bones and skin covered them, but the bodies had no breath. Then he told me to call to the wind and say, "The Lord God says, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe upon these slain bodies that they may live again." So I spoke to the winds as he commanded me, and the bodies began breathing. They lived and stood up, a very great army. Then he told me what the vision meant. "These bones," he said, "represent all of the people of Israel. They say, we have become a heap of dried up bones. All hope is gone. But tell them, the Lord God says, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again and return to the land of Israel. And then, at last, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit into you, and you shall live and return home again to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have done just what I promised you." God bless the reading of this word.
Amen. So I do love the prophet Ezekiel, and I do love this particular passage. It's so visual with my history, and many of you probably remember much of the same thing, finding dry bones everywhere. And Ezekiel makes a point in describing this vision, which he does very well. It's one of those visions that we actually can represent artistically. So much of the apocalyptic literature is just, you know, if you try to put it down on paper in any kind of artistic form, it just doesn't make sense. But this one you can. I mean, we can imagine this field full of dry bones and what's happening. And he makes the point that he's in this valley. The valley is full of bones. There were very many, and they are very dry. So when I find an old bone, cow skull or whatever, out in the dirt, it's really dry. It's been picked totally clean by all the things that have come along and taken bites, the bigger animals and down to the insects, the ants, you know, taking those last little bits, and the sun has been shining on it and it's lying there in the sand and all the moisture has gone away. It's not anything like the kind of bones that you have at the end of Thanksgiving dinner even, because it's had a lot of heat, but those bones are still, they're still kind of flexible. Or they may be, and especially if you put them in the soup pot and, you know, eventually you cook all the stuff off of them. These are dry, dry bones. It's been a long, long time since whatever animal owned that bone was alive. A long time. They are very, very dead. Now, the gospel lectionary text for today, which is another great one, one of those really hard Sundays, which one do you choose? But it's John 11. It's the raising of Lazarus. And one of the points that's made in the raising of Lazarus is Jesus goes to the tomb. He says, "Roll away the stone." And Martha says, "Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. He's very dead. He's been there 4 days." And in their understanding, the spirit hung around the body for 3 days, waiting to see if something would happen, if something would change. And then after the 3 days, the spirit would leave. So what Martha is saying is he's really dead. And when somebody is that dead, but not as dead as those dry bones, it's going to smell really bad. So you better think twice before you roll away the stone. And of course, we know how that story came out. But the point here is that these are very dead. And God asks Ezekiel a trick question. Can they live again? If that question had been asked by anybody other than God, I imagine Ezekiel's response would have been, are you crazy? Of course not. They're dead. They're totally dead. They're long dead. And Ezekiel knows better than to respond that way to God, who, after all, created everything and everyone. And his answer is very good. Lord, you know the answer to that. I, prophet that I am merely human, and I don't know the answer. And then God provides the answer because he says in verses 5 and 6 that his message is, you will live. So from these very dry bones, we have the promise of life. And God says, not only will they live again, but you are going to be my instrument. And so I want you to prophesy to these bones. So imagine being a preacher and being told to prophesy to a bunch of dry bones or to preach to a bunch of dry bones. 3 years ago this month, I began to experience something like that because I still felt the call to preach, and yet I was not allowed to have people in the church. And so I found myself preaching not to dry bones, but to a cell phone in an empty room. And that's hard. That is not so easy. It's much better to preach to a camera and have a screen in front of me and I can see your faces. I can feel like I'm talking to you. But preaching to a bunch of dry bones? But he does it. Ezekiel is obedient. He does the task he's called to do, and he begins to speak the word of the Lord to this valley full of dry bones. Now, this is a vision. This is a vision. But we know that visions are given for very particular reasons. And so, as he preaches, the bones begin to come together. Get some of my bones together. You know, the bones begin to come together. And pretty soon, the bones are there, and then I don't know how this bone goes. It's a good thing I'm not in charge of this. So the bones begin to gum together, and then the sinews grow on them, and then the flesh, the muscle is built up around it. The diagrams that you see in the doctor's office that show the skeleton and show the muscle structure and then show the skin on it and so on. And so we have the sinews and the flesh and the skin, and here they are. But they're not alive yet. He has promised you will live, but they're not there yet. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath and say to the breath, come from the four winds and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So a little linguistic aside here, the word in Hebrew, with the original language of Ezekiel, the word in Hebrew for breath, for wind, and for spirit is ruach. That's one word, covers all three of those, sounds like breath, ruach. And And it means all of those things. So when the Spirit moved over the face of the waters in the beginning, that was Ruach. And when the wind blows, that's Ruach. And when the Spirit comes, that is Ruach. And so we have the breath and the wind and Ezekiel prophesying, and the breath came into them, and they lived and they stood on their feet. Later, God is talking about what this means, and he does use the word spirit. He says, I will put my spirit within you. He's talking now about all the people of Israel who are not dry bones physically, but are dry bones spiritually. They have lost their hope. They have lost their spirit. And he says, I will put my spirit within you. You will live. And I will stand you upright, and you will know that I am the Lord. This is God. This is God who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth as the wind, as the spirit moved over the waters and began to gather up the dirt to make the first human being. I love that Julie's translation said, man of dust, the bones are lying in the dry valley, and Ezekiel is addressed as the man of dust. We are dust and ashes. That's what we remember on Ash Wednesday as we begin Lent. And it is God who turned the dust of the earth with God's spirit into people, because that's God's business, creating life. And it's also God's business to use God's creatures in God's work. So Ezekiel can't sit there like a child with Legos and put together the bones and make an army. But Ezekiel, being obedient to God, speaks God's word and it comes to pass. And we cannot make disciples either. That is our mission statement. That is the mission statement of the United Methodist Church, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that sounds great. And I've always had a little bit of a problem with that, because how am I supposed to make a disciple? How are even all of us in the congregation supposed to make disciples? Are we supposed to find bones and put them together and wrap them with flesh and skin and breathe into them? No. No, we can't do that. We can't do it any more than Ezekiel could, but Ezekiel did it. Ezekiel, with the power of God working in him, did it in his vision. And the message of God is, tell the people of Israel that I am the Lord, and I will bring you up and put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and you will know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken and will act. God's promise, a promise that we need at this point in Lent, a promise that we need all the time. And our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and our world. God calls us to do the impossible and to remember that with God, nothing is impossible. Thanks be to God. Amen.